Okay, today, Bezrat Hashem, we're going to finish up the story of Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, who learned Torah by the oil lamp, and by accident he didn't listen to the rabbis, who said that you shouldn't learn it, and because you might tilt it to move the wick closer to the oil, which is an Isur Doraita. And what we're left with the question in Piskan Nun Dalid, Rav Kook is going to relate to why Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, why is he different? We've got so many Tanaim and Amoraim, and none of them had this happen to them. Why? What's special about him? And also, what's the idea that we saw at the beginning of the Piska that says that Adam Chashuv, an important person, a great rabbi, he doesn't have to worry about tilting. Why not? And if so, want to move it over? Okay, tada. Okay, and why is Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha not considered a great person? Now we saw let's read through the Gemara. Am Rabbi Abba, Shani Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, Hawilu Mesim Atzmo Divrei Torah Kehediot. Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, it makes himself like a regular person when it comes to Divrei Torah. And what does that mean? And why do none of the other hundreds of Tanaim make themselves like a Hediot? There are a lot of questions here regarding what's going on. Rav Kook says in Piskan Nun Dalid, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Shani Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, Huil Misim Atzmo al Divrei Torah Kediot. This is a Naya, Mesechet Shabbat, chapter 1, Piska 54. Hanaga hachitzona noda lemadai, shepoelet al haskama apnimit. External actions, we know very, very well, also activate one's inner desire and inner understanding. And the classic nisuach of this is in Sefer Achinuch regarding the mitzvah of not breaking bones. I think it's a mitzvah 15 on the Korban Pesach, that if you act like a prince, princes don't eat with their fingers and break the bones. They have enough meat. So then you'll feel like a prince. And you'll be a prince. And in general, that's true, that a person, אחרי הפעולות נמשכים על ובות, your actions activate the way you are inside as well. And your motivation as well. והנה, יש הפרש בידיעת האדם את ערכו בשכל ועומק הדעה. איך הידיעה הזאת פועלת עליו ביותו עסוק בחקרי תורת השם? This is a very Musardik piska, where Rav Kook, obviously, as a great person, as the chief rabbi, when he was running it, he was the chief rabbi of Boisk, but he was already one of the leading rabbis in his generation, is clearly writing also about himself here. And he says that a person, a great person, when he knows his worth, when he knows his value, his intelligence, his rating among Gdolei Ador, or even if he's not among the Gdolei Ador, if he is the considered knowledgeable in his neighborhood, in his yeshuv, okay? That knowledge, which is a hanhagah chitzonit, that's like an external knowledge, also has internal ramifications regarding the way he relates to Torah Hashem, the way he relates to the Torah of God. We'll give examples soon. V'nei ha'adam ha'asuk b'nyanei ha'Torah ha'ma'asi'im levadam. A person, and this is most rabbis, who deal with the external aspect of Torah, the Gemara, the Halacha, not necessarily the philosophy, he doesn't deal with Kabbalah or Chassidut, right? But the average learned person who deals with the ma'asi, the pragmatic, the actual mitzvot, לא ראוי שלא לשכוח את ערכו המדעי. For him, it is proper that he not forget his intellectual value. As a person shouldn't, if you're intelligent, you shouldn't say, well, I'm stupid. We all remember that genius in every class in high school who, on his way out of the test, would say, oh, I did terribly, right? And everybody knows that he got a 99. False modesty, obviously, isn't, that's just stupid. It's a bluff and it's not real. But there is an aspect of modesty where a person really does know his limits, and the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. Anybody who's learned in yeshiva knows that. When I teach, especially boys, by girls, you know, girls have a more natural modesty or humility. Boys have a tendency to think they know everything. In Shana Aleph, you know, a guy in his first year in yeshiva, he's learned two masechtot, you know, and he knows, you know, most of the words in Aramaic, and he's a hotshot, and he thinks, you know, he can correct everyone. And I was like that too, also, my first year in yeshiva. The more you know, the more you learn, the more you realize that you don't know. The more sfarim you discover, the more concepts you discover, the more difficult concepts you discover that you still don't understand, the more tchumim chadashim, there are new aspects of Torah which you just never dealt with until you get to learning 10, 20, 30 years of Torah. Right? And on the other hand, That being said, a person has to know, especially when he deals with halacha, he has to know his knowledge. The most common example is, here on our yeshuv where there are a lot of minyanim, and every half hour there's a minyan, and in every minyan there are a couple people who maybe know the Mishnah Berurah better than others. And when people are, you know, fumfering around, should we say Tachanun or not? Do we say Avinu Malkeinu or not? Do we? If a person knows the halacha, the if there's a problem with the letter in the Sefer Torah, that's a good example. You don't just sit back. If you're the one who has the most knowledge there, get up and intervene, because the tendency of usually the first people who intervene are those who know the least. And as they think, hey, again, I learned a year in yeshiva, I know a year, or my grandfather was a Baal Kore, and I saw them, what they do, and he doesn't even know that he doesn't know. And that's why there is an obligation. If you know, you should know that you know. Know what you know. And that's especially regarding halacha, because halacha lamaseh, people have to know, who here can we ask? Right? Or if some guy, you know, says that he knows something and somebody's and he's just wrong, you know, you should be able to say, you know, Habibi, it says in the Mishnah Berurah, Siman Kach V'Kach, you know, that you're wrong. And so it's important, it's not a matter of humility. When it comes to halacha, it's not a matter of humility to pretend that you don't know or just to keep your mouth shut. That's not humility. That's pashut. Hiding Torah, hiding truth. Ki amitat haskamot binyanei halacha ma'asit shebatorah, haloi netuna lefi shikul da'at ha'adam. Vezeu ha'emet ha'nirtzeh. Right, the desired truth, and there's a beautiful idea. Rav Kook is saying, halacha is something intellectual. It's true. And it's something that you should be able to prove. And it's something which is based on the sources. And if you know the sources, then you know the sources. And if you don't, you don't. In other words, regarding halacha, a person has to have mamash, an accurate evaluation of himself. Even more so. Ela she'im einenu ra'ui liyot chotei halachot b'da'ato mimnei she'lo higia l'midazu. If a person really doesn't know halacha. And again, this is very common in yeshivot. A guy could be learning 10 years in yeshiva, but if he's just learning Gemara, and he hasn't learned the Mishnah Berurah, and he hasn't learned for smicha, he hasn't learned halacha lema'aseh, know that you don't know.
There are a lot of halachot that learning for smicha doesn't cover also.
That's also true. Okay, b'kitzur, a person should know what he knows. not know what he doesn't know. By the way, when we talk about learning for smicha, one of the things that the Rabbanut ask is that you have to learn. I'm talking about the Rabbanut Rashit, which is a very important smicha. There are a lot of less serious smichot running around. The Rabbanut says you have to learn 10 years in yeshiva full time. And you have to get a mikhtav haskama from your Rosh Yeshiva, that the person knows. And what does that mean, knows? That he's gone through. The fact that there's no test on Mishnah Berurah doesn't mean that you're not supposed to know Mishnah Berurah. They take for granted that you do know Mishnah Berurah. Right? To the fact that they only test you on, in some places, they only test you on Isser Veheter. Right? That really should take for granted that Hilchot Shabbat, you know, Pashut from high school, and that the first and second volumes of the Mishnah Berurah you know from high school, right? That's Pshita.
High school today. Was that?
That's what should be known. In my high school, we covered the first three volumes of Mishnah Berurah, almost cover to cover.
Really?
And we knew it very well. Everyone. That was...
How many volumes of Mishnah Berurah
have?
Six.
Yeah.
No.
It's
not Mishnah.
Mishnah
Berurah.
Yeah, I know.
It's on Orach Chaim.
So
Orach Chaim. Ela she'im enenu ra'ui liyot bedaato, mimne shelo higi al midazu, az chalila lo lismoch al binato. Chas v'shalom, don't rely on your svarot, on your intelligence. Well, I saw in a Gemara that says that this, and I think that, and it would seem to me that if you didn't learn the halacha l'maaseh, the shutim, the responsa, even if you learned Gemara for 10 years, don't answer questions, because you don't know. Right? If there's nobody else around, you know, there's no choice, and you know, you do the best you can, exactly. But a person has to be honest, that's the bottom line. V'liyot talmid shelo yigi lohura'a umore, chas v'shalom. To the somebody, liyot talmid, somebody who, Chazal will talk very strongly against somebody who isn't, who hasn't gotten to the level of hora'a, to paskin halachot, and nevertheless, he's posek halachot. Aval biyoto ra'ui lekach, on the other hand, if you are on that level, halo lehefach, the opposite. Be'agia lehora'a ve'eino more, ne'amar v'atzumim kol harugah. Chazal said the exact opposite. If you are competent halachic in your halachic knowledge, and you don't answer the halacha, then it's also just as bad. Again, the bottom line, an accurate definition. Don't overrate yourself and don't underrate yourself when it comes to halacha. By the way, Rav Kook here is also talking about nigleh regarding Gemara. The classic examples that we gave are regarding knowledge of halacha. But the same thing if somebody asks somebody to give a shiur in Gemara. If you know how to give a shiur in Gemara, if you know how to learn a Gemara, you're obligated. Right, that's what Rav Kook writes in Mosar Avicha regarding the midot of anava, of humility. He says that humility is three things. All right, everyone asks, famous Gemara at the end of Masechet Sota, it says, Mishamed Rebbe batel batla anava mi'olam. From the time that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi died, there's no more humility in the world. Then it says, Amar Rav Yosef, Vayika Ana, what about me? I'm humble. Right? And everybody laughs, you know, who would say that they're humble? And Rav Kook explains that humility is three points. Number one, it's an accurate estimate, evaluation. If you're humble, there's nothing wrong with saying that you're humble. What does that mean, humble? Compared to everyone else, right? Arrogance is a very common problem. If you have that midah, that's number one. Number two, after you have the accurate evaluation, know that it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? If you were born intelligent person, or if you have a good memory, or if you're artistic, or if any talent that you have, thank God. And don't pat yourself on the back, that's point number two. But after you have the accurate evaluation, thank God for what He gave you. Sometimes it's thanking God for a good upbringing, right? That you had good study habits, right? Or that your parents sent you to a good school, which I mentioned before. Baruch Hashem, my parents sent me to a good high school. Okay? Number three.
Your father was a principal.
That was elementary school. Number three, after you have an accurate evaluation, you know your talents, you know your shortcomings, you thank God and you don't pat yourself on the back. That's number two. Number three is realize that it obligates you to give to others. So that if there's a difficult Gemara and people are trying to figure out in the Beit Midrash, and you understand it, it's not humility just to sit back and keep the Torah to yourself. You have an obligation to help others out. Same thing if a person is artistic, and they're looking on the yeshuv for somebody to make the background for the yeshuv play, right? It's not humble not to tell people. Adraba, it's arrogance. Arrogance, Rav Kook explains, is to do what's good for you. I don't feel like spending time, hours on hours, drawing tafura for a play. I don't feel like it. That's arrogant. Because if Am Yisrael needs you, if the community, the yeshuv, the chevrah needs you, why did God give you the talent? You're obligated to help Am Yisrael. Right? If a commander sees that there's a problem with a tzalaf, right, a sharpshooter from far away, and he asks in the group, who's a tzalaf? Who's a sharpshooter? Right? What, it's arrogance to say I'm a sharpshooter? That's not arrogance. Right? If you take the gun, that's responsibility. Everyone's counting on you. It also means that as soon as you fire the first shot, their sharpshooter sees you, and he's going to try and pick you off. In other words, you're endangering your life. That's the exact opposite of arrogance. That's humility. In other words, sometimes it's humility, it's humble, to say, I'm artistic. I'm a sharpshooter. I'm intelligent. I know the halacha. Right? That is davka humility. It's not arrogance. Arrogance is to do what I feel like, putting my ego as the top priority and the needs of others as a secondary. Okay? And that's the exact opposite of what a lot of people think.
It says that Moshe, Rabbeinu was a Navi Kol Adam, that he was the most humble person. Mm-hmm. And years ago, Moriva Rabbi, Rabbi Gravender said, asked the question, you know, he's the greatest human being ever who you know, spiritually, who ever lived, and he's the most humble person. How does that work exactly? And he said that a person who is Moshe Rabbeinu's great humility was based on the fact that he could look at himself as being head and shoulders above everybody else in the world. Mm-hmm. And still consider the difference between himself and Joe Schmo to be totally insignificant compared to the gap between both of them and God.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Where does false humility fit in this classification?
False humility is a bluff. It's a joke. As the Misilat Yesharim writes about it, the false humility is just totally worthless. Mm. There's no place for false humility. A person, obviously, it's dishonest to yourself, it's dishonest to other people. A person, if he is arrogant, he shouldn't go around flaunting it. You know, it's better to be fakely humble than to be outwardly arrogant. And, you know, sometimes you see quotes of Ted Williams. Remember Ted Williams?
The
famous outfielder for the Boston Red Sox.
The last man to hit 400, yeah.
Right? And he was last one to hit 388 also. And anyway, Bekitzer, this guy, he was...
A good bullpen.
You see quotes from him, you know, I set out to be the greatest hitter ever, and I was. You know, give me a break. Maybe he was, but, you know, just...
Arguably...
That stinks. That smells. It's, you know.
He was not a nice fellow.
Yeah. And you see a lot of things that he said in interviews. And that's, arrogance is definitely out. False humility is also out. And especially, you have to work on yourself to get to real humility. And sometimes the answer is just, you know, to keep your mouth shut. But Rav Kook is saying here, sometimes you can't keep your mouth shut. You know, if you're the one who knows, then you have to say. Okay, and you have to know who you are. Al kena chachama yodea shesichlo shalem bahalacha ra'ui ladat erko. A person who knows the halacha, it's worthy that he knows his worth. Lemantia itzlo achra'ato torak vua mishameshet lema'aseh. That he teaches halacha, people know that they can rely on what he says, even more so. And here, it's connecting with the Gemara. All right, what did the Gemara say? The Gemara says that Adam Chashuv lo choshishim shema yateh. A great person, we're not worried that he is going to tilt the oil by accident. Why not? The answer is, when a person knows his worth, and especially if he's in a standing, he has a certain ma'amad, like a shul rabbi, a rabbi of a community.
He takes responsibility.
He takes responsibility, and he's a lot more aware of his actions all the time. I never was a community rabbi, but in my midrasha, for example, whenever I had minyanim for Shabbatot, or I always looked ahead to see whether we should be saying tachanun, whether or not. Whether, you know, there are any surprises in the night, if it's Shabbat Mevorachim, if you say Avarachamim, if you don't say Avarachamim. All these, it's like the Gabbai. That's really part of the job of the Gabbai. Where these aren't really halachic decisions. All you have to do is look it up beforehand. But the idea is, if you know that it's your responsibility, you're more aware. The same thing, part of the beauty of being, I spoke with the new Rav of the Yeshuv about this, part of the beauty of being a Rav of a Yeshuv is that you become a lot more aware, not only of halachot that you never paid attention, but also your own actions. Because when you know that people are watching you, I gave him an example. I was once at a shiur with a famous rabbi was giving a shiur. And they brought him water to drink. And he made a shakol niyabidvaro. But he was holding it in his left hand. And I know that he's a righty. And the Shulchan Aruch says, you should be holding it in your right hand. There's something wrong with that.
And you noticed.
And I noticed. I pointed it out to him afterwards. I said, you know, listen, people notice these type of things. You should be more aware. It's not a sur. We're not talking about Isur Doraita. We're not talking about Isur Drabanan. But you should be aware. That's part of the job of being in a position where people are watching you. It's also good for you, because you're a lot more aware, right? Sometimes regarding Kavanan Tefillah, right? If you know that people are waiting for you to finish Kriyat Shema, or to finish Shemona Esrei, or whatever, that's a certain obligation. Hey, I'm the measuring stick for Kriyat Shema. That means that I should really be saying it with Kavana. It's another reason to be aware. And that's exactly what Chazal are telling us, that Adam Chashuv, an important, learned person, he really is aware. And that's why he really won't tilt it. What about Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha? All right, till now we've been speaking about general rabbis. Rav Kook has been talking about, that's really true about most rabbis, whose job and whose knowledge is in Gemara and in Halacha, in the external aspects, the practical aspects of Torah. Kol ze ne'amar rak binyanim ma'asiyim she'ninam olim b'shum ofen b'ma'ala gvoha yoter misichlo shel adam bichlal. All of this is talking about topics where intelligence and knowledge is what decides. And somebody who's learned more years in yeshiva, or has a little better memory, and or has a little more intelligence, and he can piece the answer together, objectively, he is going to know better, and he has to know his standing and his responsibility. Aval, and here's the, as we've seen many times in Rav Kook, Rav Kook always shows the thesis and the antithesis, and afterwards the synthesis. Aval, on the other hand, binyanim sichli ha-sichliim, bidiyata elokut, v'cheker kvodo yidbarach. But when we're talking about philosophy, Kabbalah, the mystical aspects of the Torah, שבהם הדברים מגיעים עד מקום ששכל האדם יקצר מהגיע לסוף של דברים. When we're taught, what is Kabbalah? We've mentioned in the past. Kabbalah is something literally means that you received from your teacher. We spoke once about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Everyone said, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he wrote the Zohar. But if Kabbalah is something that you received, he must receive it from someone. Who is his Rebbe? Rabbi Akiva. Who did Rabbi Akiva receive it from? Arba nichlesu lepardes. Four rabbis went into the pardes and learned the secrets of the Torah. Elisha ben Avuya, ben Azai ben Zoma, and Rabbi Akiva. So he received it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are things that you can't get on your own. You can't figure out Kabbalah on your own. You can't figure out mysticism. Even philosophy, to a very large extent, learning about God, for sure, Ma'aseh Merkava, Ma'aseh Bereshit, these are things which really are not a matter of just how many years you learned in yeshiva or what your IQ is. Regarding these things, which are not based on measurable knowledge, צריך תמיד שיהיה נגד עיני החוקר הצד החלש הנמצא בשכל האנושי. Regarding these topics, humility is super important because it's super true. Habibi, you will never understand God. You will never understand all of the Kabbalah and the hidden levels and the hidden meanings of every word in the Torah. And know that you don't know. גם אם יהיה נשגב וגדול מאוד, even if a person is going to be great and knowledgeable, לעומת יתר בני גילו ואנשי דורו, compared to everyone else, say you're the biggest Kabbalist in town, say you're the biggest Kabbalist in the world. But you know that you don't know. Because, in the words of Rav Sadia Gaon, אם ידעתיו הייתיו. If I would know God, I would be God. Nobody can know God. And even if you received a certain amount, God is like an open arrow, where it's eternal. You could never, you'll never really get there. And that's why regarding issues of the deeper aspects of the Torah, you need that much more humility, and it has to be clear to you that you don't know. אבל מהו נחשב לעומת גודל ערכם של העניינים האלוקיים שבסודם יחקר? Even if compared to everyone else, you've learned Kabbalah. Maybe you might be the biggest Kabbalist in your city. Nevertheless, compared to God, you don't know nothing. Compared to Rabbi Akiva, compared to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, compared to the Vilna Gaon, right? We're talking about an eternal, unending topic. You can't know God. Uvezot yihye batuach shelo yimtu raglav miderech Torat Hashem atmima. And this is the best way also to make sure that you won't make mistakes. Because when we talk about understanding God, how did God create the world? What is the ten sefirot? What is Keter, Chokhmah, and Binah, and Gedulah, and Gevurah? When we talk about trying to understand even the most external understanding of the bit of that we can understand of God that is so out of our realm, it's very easy to make mistakes. Because as soon as you think that you understand, the odds are very good that davka you don't understand. Besumo derech b'imkei ayunim ayoter mesubachim. Regarding the more complicated aspects of the eternal, mystical Torah, Alkein, Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. Here Rav Kook does a beautiful thing. He reminds us, who is Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha? And why is he so different from any of the other of the Tanaim? Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, Shaya marbe lasok b'tzipiyat merkava. He dealt with a lot of ma'aseh merkava. Hare, remember what we said last time? We mentioned the name of the Netivot Shalom, that what does a person usually, should he be learning on Shabbat? Davka Pnimiyut HaTorah. The 6 days of the week, remember, that's like the Chitzoni, that's for Halacha, that's for Gemara. Shabbat, that's the time to learn Chassidut, that's the time to learn Kabbalah, right? We learned that in the previous shiur. So who is learning on Shabbat? Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Kasher nodam idvara b'sefer haichalot. Here, Rav Helfer doesn't even bring a source, because most people don't know Sefer HaHechalot, myself included. It's a great Kabbalistic work. Rav Kook was one of the greatest Kabbalists in his generation. Somebody once asked Rav Tzvi Yehuda, no. Somebody once asked Rav Kook, who are the greatest Kabbalists in his generation? The three greatest Kabbalists. And he said, the Leshem Shavo V'Achlama, that's the father of Rav El Yashiv.
Grandfather.
And the Bala Sulam, I believe. And he didn't say the third. And the asker understood that he was talking about himself. And you see it very clearly from all of his writings that he was unbelievable in Kabbalah. And apparently, Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, Rav Kook says, is mentioned a lot in the Sefer HaHechalot. One thing we do know, Mamaro bebrachot, b'tzipiyato ha'elokit, kishenichnas laktir ktoret lifnai v'lifnim. Right? We all know, even if you didn't learn Masechet Brachot, you know Avram Fried's song about Yishmael, Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, who went up to heaven. We also know that from the Asarah Harugei Malchut, from the Ten Martyrs, he was the one who went up to heaven to ask God, you know, do we really deserve death? The Gemara Masechet Brachot, where he comes and he sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if it were sitting on a chair, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if it were, everything is as if it were, asks him, B'ni Barcheni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking our Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha for a bracha. So how can you give HaKadosh Baruch Hu a bracha? So he says, Pekitzur, may your midat arachamim mitkaber midat adin. In other words, be yourself. Be your good, godly, fatherly self. V'na'ana li b'rosho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if it were, nodded amen to his bracha. In other words, Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha is not a normal Tana. And that's why Rav Kook goes in the direction, why did he make himself kehedyot? Right? That's what the Gemara says. Regarding Divrei Torah, he was like a hedyot, because he was in the second category. He dealt a lot with Kabbalah. And in Kabbalah, you have to see yourself that you don't know. For the reasons that we mentioned before. A, because you really don't know. B, because if you think that you know, you can very well make mistakes. C, because the essence of Kabbalah is what you receive from your teachers. You can be a little creative, you know, put one and one together, but be very, very careful. Okay? And that's why Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, he, as opposed to all the other Tanaim, he made himself Mesim Atzual Divrei Torah Kehedyot. And that's why all other rabbis, we say regarding them, Adam Chashuv Lo Yateh. Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, he has that danger. And in fact, he really did. He made that mistake.
Because
he had so much in the clouds, he was not paying attention to the Yisrael of Halach.
Yeah, and also he didn't have that awareness, like I said, when a public figure, a posek, a rabbi, he has a public awareness of his job, and he's always that much more aware of his actions. He's accustomed to the fact that everyone's looking at him. Because compared to everyone else, he's the rabbi at the top of the pyramid. But somebody who's used to learning Kabbalah, he's always at the bottom of the pyramid.
It's just him and God.
Exactly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the top and the middle, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the pyramid. And I'm here at the bottom, basically trying to understand, maybe a little. Because the whole topic is based on humility. And that's why, and it's a beautiful, beautiful explanation. Why?
From any tafkid tziburi, from any public responsibility, because he's doing something that's totally demanding.
Yeah, you could say that. On the other hand, the greatest Kabbalists of the last generations, many of them, Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu, without a doubt, one of the greatest Kabbalists of the last 100 years, was also a very great posek and had a very important tafkid. He was chief rabbi. Rav Kook, the same thing. Kedai shiyichakek heitev belibo atzara hedyotin shel haseichel haenoshi l'umat inyanei kodesh hagedolim vaniflaim shayalo imahem esek. Regarding the awesome, mystical, high, godly topics that Kabbalah deals with, Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha has to remain a hediot, a normal person in his eyes. Haya mesim atzmo gam ken banagato achitzona, even regarding his external actions, like we said, your internal understanding should affect your external actions as well. Al divrei Torah kehediot, and that's why he really did not think of himself as a great person, and he didn't have that public awareness that most great rabbanim, for sure Tanaim, have. Okay? And so, Bekitzur, we have some very interesting insights here in Rav Kook on how a person should see himself, how he shouldn't see himself, and how it's complex, but how regarding certain topics, a person has to be that much more humble, even more humble than his real evaluation. On the other hand, regarding halacha or public jobs, or if, like I said, if you're davening in the shul and you know the halacha, or then you have to. Yeah, that is the time to to take responsibility. Okay. Yeah, Avi.
You mentioned that as opposed to a person dealing with nigla, with halacha, with gemara, where you can know your value. And if you know, you know, and you should know that you know and say that you know. Uh-huh. You compared it to Kabbalah, where, in your words, were something to the effect of, however deep you get, who are you compared to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai
and God,
the Vilna Gaon?
And God. God.
No,
because you're talking about God. It's a godly topic.
Seder. So, but is it? But what about? But if it's compared to Rabbi Akiva or the Vilna Gaon, so the same applies to Nigla also. I mean, who today can know Halacha and the Gemara like Rabbi Akiva or the Vilna Gaon?
That's also true. That's also true. But the main point is that the idea of Kabbalah, that it's a godly topic, that you really can't get a real understanding, and also you're totally dependent on your teachers, who are dependent on their teachers, and inevitably it katnu adorot. The further you get from Sinai, the more things get watered down regarding the field of Kabbalah more than any other field. That's where the humility is more in play.